Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, of course, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Joyce Riley from the Power Hour. Hi, Joyce. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Thank you so very much.
Well, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, there's several subjects I'd like to talk about, but one of them that I want to really focus on today is keeping a strong body, mind, and spirit during these times, because so many people are starting to fail. They're starting to fail and feeling like they're not doing enough. They're feeling like, gee, I did all these things and nothing happened, and look how bad it is. And I just like to say that, coming from an experience that I had recently, I had a phone call after the program from a vet who was obviously under the influence of alcohol when he called me, and he called yelling about something or angry about something. And I thought about the pain that our people are in. And you know, it's all of us feel the same thing. You feel it. I feel it. A bit of all of our hearts are dying right now with all the tragedy in the world. But this vet called me angry at me, mainly because the DOD won't listen. Nobody else will listen to him. But under the influence of alcohol, and I thought about this at 10:30 in the morning. That's tragic, because this is not a vet that's sick from Gulf War illness or anything, but it's a vet that's just fed up and has decided that it's better to depend upon alcohol. And my heart went out to him, but I told him when he called, and it's a vet that we provided a lot of products to at no cost whatsoever, and he started yelling at me, and I said, "No, wait a minute." I said, "Did you get the box of things?" And we sent him a whole big box of stuff to help him. I said, "Did you get the box of things that we sent him, sent you?" And he said, "Oh, yeah, but I want to tell you what I'm upset about," you know, and no gratitude. You know, gratitude has got to be where we are right now for everything our Heavenly Father has given us. So I thought about this, and I told him, I said, "Look, this is the second time you've called me under the influence. Do not call me again like this. I'll give you one more chance, and then I won't take your phone calls any longer." So I hated to have to do that, but I thought about this later then. What can we do for people to boost them mentally, spiritually, physically, anyway? And I think the most important thing we have to realize that we are connected to our Heavenly Father. When we think we're not, we are still connected. And that is a power that is so great, we can't even imagine it. And I know my garden is growing so beautifully right now. And when I look at these giant, gorgeous red tomatoes I got from a little tiny seed, and the beautiful green peppers that I got from a little tiny seed, it is hard to believe the brilliance of a Heavenly Father that can put all of that growing potential in that little tiny seed. And we cannot lose track of those things right now. So I was thinking about what can people do and where can they go? Well, there are 12-step programs, and some people now are resorting, they tell me, to food or alcohol or drugs or whatever. And there are those programs out there that don't cost anything, because I wouldn't be wanting to drive people to something that costs money, because a lot of people don't have it right now. But there are 12-step programs, and I heard about a new one the other day, and I thought it was kind of fitting, and it's called Adult Children of Dysfunctional Families. I think we could probably all fit into that one if we needed to, or if we wanted to, because there's so much pain out there now. But there is help out there available.
Well, I think it is. But, of course, the most important thing is we have a personal relationship with our Lord. And if you haven't given your life to our Lord, why, you're going to have to one of these days. And you're actually going to have to get down on your knees and just surrender your will to His and just say, you know, I can't do this on my own. I want you to take over and start helping and directing things for me. And you'll be amazed how this really will change your life. But, you know, we can talk about the 12-step programs, this, that, or the other thing. But the most important thing that any of us can have, the most important thing that Joyce and I can offer you, is to introduce you to our Lord Jesus Christ in the hope, of course, that you will accept that free offer of salvation. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, Our guest this afternoon is Joyce Riley for the Power Hour, and she was just talking about how so many people today are really feeling the tension. They're feeling depressed. You look and see what's going on, and we've got the Gulf oil spill, and we've got the financial collapse, and now they're talking about problems over there in the Near East, and there's going to be a war, and maybe Israel's going to be wiped off the face of the earth, and then, of course, the possibility of a war with Iran and civil unrest at home, and we hear about the prison camps, the concentration camps they have here, and the fact that they may be training our soldiers to actually take the weapons away from the American people. We know they did this down in New Orleans during Katrina, just as sort of an exercise to see how far they could push the American people, and desperate people will simply go along. After all, when somebody comes in with the guns and says, give me your guns or I'm going to kill you, why, what are you going to do? And then they got you in handcuffs, and they did this to law-abiding citizens, and if that could happen then, could it happen again? And of course it could. And then how do we look at this? And of course Joyce is simply saying, you're going to have to learn to rely upon the Lord, and this is the only thing that's going to get us through the difficult times, because we're living in man's world, and yet of course this is still God's world. Would you agree, Joyce?
Oh, absolutely. We need to live in God's ways by His Scripture and by what He has said for us to do. We need to eat His food. We need to stay away from man's medicine as much as possible and deal with God's medicine. So I think that it's up to us to search back. I mean, I find myself now searching more, I think, than I ever have, praying more than I ever have. And the reason I mentioned 12-step programs is not because it is a definite answer. It's because when I used to work as a director of nursing in a hospital, these meetings were there in the hospital. It was an alcohol treatment, drug treatment, substance abuse program, plus a chronic care hospital or an acute care hospital. And we had a lot of people that were going to these meetings, and they did it because it worked and because they got support from it. And that's the problem right now, is a lot of our people, if they're not married, they're on their own. They seriously don't have a lot of people to bond with. And everybody looks at them like, you're the craziest person I've ever heard, when you say things like, you know, does Obama really have a birth certificate that is, you know, makes him liable to be president? I mean, when we talk about 9/11 and people say, what are you talking about? The Muslims did it. You know, the bad guys did it. That's why we're killing the bad guys in Afghanistan, is because of those 15 guys from Saudi Arabia, which makes no sense. But our people are alone, and they need support.
Hold that thought, Joyce. We'll be right back here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Guest, of course, is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour. And as she was just saying, that a lot of people need support in times like this. And there are the various 12-step programs. And sort of the important thing is you've got somebody to bond with, to help you through the very, very difficult time. And it's not necessarily even the 12-step program, but it's the other people, because a lot of people feel very much alone today. And especially if you are listening to alternative radio and you really have an idea. Idea what's going on. I mean, what's going on today is so ridiculous, so frightening, so beyond belief. For the average individual, you say, it just couldn't be true. And yet, if you analyze it, it is true. And there certainly, I would say probably 60% of the American people take what they're told by Glenn Beck, what they're told by the major mainline media, by Rush Limbaugh, by Sean Hannity, and they believe every word they're told. I mean, after all, these men are espousing the philosophy of how great America is. They're saying what I believe, but they're not getting, of course, the real solace, the real understanding of what's going on. So you pick up the story, Joyce.
Well, and it's because, like you say, they're listening to the main spin media, which is giving them the spin that everyone else has. And so when you differ from that and you question it, people look at you like you are the odd man out. And many times we are the odd man out. That's why I say some of these meetings that are held around the country, like your meeting and like Pastor Butch Paz's meeting and all these meetings that people go to, you know, you ought to be willing to pay a lot of money to go to that meeting, because finally, you're going to be somewhere where you're not the strangest person in the room. You're not the odd man out there, because there's always somebody else there that's got a little bit more interesting tale than yours. So I just think that's important. You know, it's like this story about the Russian spies that were caught. I have never heard a more ridiculous story in my life that they were using invisible ink. Oh, that's high-tech, recent stuff, and shortwave radios to transmit. I mean, this is just the stupidest story, but yet the average person is going to buy into it. Now, what happens to our listeners? They listen to it and they go, wait a minute, this doesn't make any sense. So they go to work and they say, this doesn't make any sense. And they say, well, of course, they were Russian spies. What do you expect, you know? But other people can't see these things. They don't understand what's going on. And let me give you an example of a recent event that happened with respect to a military person and the vaccines. Because when you know what we know and you become enlightened with knowledge and information and you are in the military, you're in a tough place. Because you've already been there, you've committed yourself, and now you have this awakening, and all of a sudden, you're realizing vaccines are not the answer, or fill in the blank is something that you can't do. Well, I got a phone call from a lady whose daughter had a child in daycare, military daycare. Now, military daycare is a good thing because it's less expensive than regular daycare. So many of the enlisted people need to go toward using the base or the post daycare. Well, she was told your child will have to have the vaccines of the military people. And she said, my child didn't join the military. And they said, no, but if you use the post facilities, your child will have to have the vaccines the other people have. Well, she had already had vaccine-injured children. She knew this child had been vaccine-injured in the past because it took a long time to get over the vaccines, called in a panic and said, I'm active duty. What am I going to do? And I said, go to a physician, get a statement that your child is vaccine-injured. Do whatever you can from the standpoint of the waivers that you need to do. And religious exemption in the military goes about as far as across this room here. That's it. It doesn't count. Military does not receive the religious waiver, so you've got to have some type of a medical waiver. So she got all those things. Then the military told her, sorry, too bad, your daughter's going to have these vaccines or you're in a lot of trouble. And they started really harassing her, making her work every weekend so that she had to use the post daycare because nobody else would take children on the weekend and those kinds of things that were nothing but harassment. This girl, here she is now, she's educated. She's learned since she's been in the military by listening to programs like ours about the vaccines. And she begins to be very concerned that she doesn't want her child to get it. And she stands and she stands. So she stood to the military, finally, to the point where the morning that they were going to, I think, forcefully give the vaccines to her, they wrote her a note and said, basically, just be quiet about this. Your daughter does not have to take the vaccines. And you know what I think happened, Dr. Stan, is that she stood to the point of saying, I know what I'm talking about. I know my rights, because the one thing that she asked for was, what is the rule, regulation, or code that makes it possible for you to vaccinate my child? That stopped them in their tracks. They'd never been asked a question like that. What is the rule, regulation, or code that gives them, the military, the right to vaccinate a child? They couldn't quote it. They couldn't give it to her. So she was told, basically, just don't make an issue of it, and your daughter does not have to have the vaccines. Now, that to me is powerful. There is a person who was on their own, a lone person saying, not no, but heck no, and standing and standing. And yes, she realized, she prayed and prayed about this. And although they would not accept the religious exemption waiver, I have to tell you that I think it was because of the Lord honors the truth. I really believe that he honors the truth. And I believe that he honors it in times when it needs to be tested. So I was just so thrilled for her that she stood to that position. And maybe she set a precedent now. Who knows? But I was very happy that that story turned out in a positive way.
Well, I always suggest to people, you just drop a little form and ask the people who are insisting you take the vaccine that they've just decided, saying they personally will be responsible for any financial loss that comes from their child being damaged from vaccines, considering the number of children that are damaged from vaccines, and give them some of the statistics. 1 in 9 children has asthma in America today, and so you don't see this. Probably 1 in 100 children is not vaccinated has asthma. So, you know, Sydney, you'll be fully responsible. And then, of course, about one child in 11 has major allergies and allergic reactions, and you just don't see this in children not vaccinated. One in six American children has a neurodevelopmental abnormality. I want you to accept you'll be fully responsible for this, and you'll just sign your name right here, and we'll get this witnessed, and then we'll get the vaccination.
Right.
Will you sign? And, of course, they're not going to sign for it. And I will tell you that an awful lot of doctors and an awful lot of nurses are very, very skeptical about vaccination, but they're afraid to speak out, because if you speak out, why, they're going to come after you. They're going to come after your nursing license. They're going to come after your physician's license. There are a few doctors out there who do have the courage to speak out, but most of them do not. It's easier to go along and get along than to take a stand. I certainly have a great deal of admiration for this woman.
I do, too. She was very young, and she stood her ground, and she made a point. And a lot of it, I think, has to do with standing. Not being angry, not being upset, but being documented, being smart, and handling yourself in a professional way. And that's what I encourage people to do. You know, it's just almost like, well, now we're being affected, you and I, if we travel, are being affected by these new body scanners, the airport body scanners. And today, the UK announced that full-body scanners now are going to give, are giving people a dose that is about 20 times higher of radiation than had originally been estimated. Well, there is no way in this world that you and I both know that they did not know how much those machines emit. There's no way. Now, the average person's not going to question that. They're going to say, oh, wow, gee, they just didn't know that. No, we know they knew that, but we know that if they would have told us that, the people would have revolted in a heartbeat. Now, most people are never going to see this story, that those X-ray machines, the naked body scanners, the back scatters. See, it's a back scatter. It's just almost like CAT scan, but back scatter. And most, the average person is not even going to know that they have radiation coming through their bodies. And the chance of getting cancer is being increased by the breakage of the DNA in going through those machines. But to say no to a machine is a really hard thing to do, because most people don't want to do it. They don't want to go up to where there's a big, huge, long line. Everybody's there. Everybody's pushing. They want to get through. And all of a sudden, you are the one that says, excuse me, I'm not going through that machine.
And, of course, you know, I think people have to remember, how did they get these scanners in? Why was the underwear bomber? And immediately after we had the underwear bomber, it was the most ridiculous attempt to blow up a plane I ever heard of. I mean, he's lighting this his underwear on fire with a fuse. But certainly fire will not set off this type of explosive. And they know that. It was just like the Richard Reed, the shoe bomber, you know. And then that's why we have to take off our shoes. We have the underwear bomber. Now we have to go through the scanner. And within a week, they had all of these scanners distributed all across the world. Isn't that a coincidence? So you have the underwear scanner, and within a week, these scanners in place. I wonder how long it took to design those. That must have been the fastest building of a scanner that ever took place, or maybe this whole thing was... Ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand, they create these problems, and then they've always got a solution. It's always going to take away your freedom. But remember, there is a population control agenda, and they're poisoning our people. Why is it, do you think, that we certainly have a much shorter lifespan here in the United States than they have in many other countries? And why are so many of our older people getting Alzheimer's disease and dementia and even Parkinson's disease at age 35 or 40? We never used to see that. I wonder why. Why, after 50 years of a war on cancer, almost, I guess, 40 years of war on cancer, we have as much cancer as we did back in 1971. I wonder why. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment with Joyce Riley, hey, from the Power Hour. And ladies and gentlemen, you've got to learn to think. You've got to learn there really are people out there who do not have your best interest at heart. Over, I think it's in Australia now, they're going to try to get the bisphenols out of the tin cans. They've known since the 1930s that it disrupted the endocrine system. And, of course, this is one reason so many men are, I believe, at least in part, having sexual dysfunction, because you're getting estrogens. I mean, every time you're using the plastics, and of course, they line all of your tin cans with this, and they put it in the baby bottle, so that when you warm up the baby bottle, your little boy is getting a full dose of estrogen. How could they be so stupid? unintentionally. Well, Joyce, go right ahead.
So what happens is the people end up thinking, well, I have no choice. I have to go through this because there's a long line of people ready to go through this machine. They don't realize, number one, that it has radiation, and number two, they don't realize it's a naked scanner. So they just kind of go, oh, okay, well, whatever, and they go through the line. Instead of realizing that they have rights and they can say no. And that's what I like to do, and the Power Hour likes to do, is to give you the option of what you can do other than go through like a herd of sheep waiting to be radiated. And that is, you say simply, I would choose for an alternate, please. I would like to not go through that machine. What are my options? And then they have to tell you that they can use the wand on you instead. But they don't like to do that because it takes more time and it slows down the whole entire line. The other reason they're not going to like you doing that is because everybody else is going to say, wait a minute, if she doesn't want to go through it, then I don't want to go through it. Why doesn't she want to go through the line or through the machine? And then if you dare say, well, if you want to be radiated because there is radiation in that machine, that's your choice. But it increases the chance of cancer. Oh, my gosh. Do you know what that's going to do to a whole line of people at LAX airport? They're not going to be very happy. And the TSA people are not going to be very happy. So just say, I would like an alternative to going through the machine. And then they will have to wand you. And then you can go through that way. But if people don't know, they're going to do it. And they're going to buckle under and they're just going to think that, well, if I don't do it, I can't travel. And that's not true. So just want people to know that that is an option. Another thing I wanted to tell you is that there's been information released on the unmanned aerial vehicles I thought was interesting from the military standpoint. The Air Force is, well, they're not really releasing this information, but this is some sort of, I guess, inside information, that it turns out that they've changed the names of the UAVs. That the unmanned aerial vehicles they've changed the name. And I'll tell you that in just a second. But what they did is they did a study to find out how many people it took to fly an unmanned aerial vehicle, you know, like the Predator that we're familiar with, for 24 hours. Now, this is not a test, Dr. Stan, but I mean, just make a guess as to how many people you think it would take to fly an unmanned aerial vehicle for 24 hours. One vehicle.
Well, I'm going to say six people. How is that?
How about 174.
I will have to admit. Where did you get that figure? But I know you have the choice, the source. So where do we find that out?
Bruce Rolfson in Unmanned is proving to be a misnomer. It's an article done in the Air Force Times that came out 7 June of 2010. Air Force Times said they did the study because they wanted to know, you know, is this financially feasible or not? And it says to do around the clock of one remotely piloted aircraft, or an RPA, that's what they've changed the name to now, remotely piloted aircraft, it takes 174 people. So now they've decided that since they now know how many people it takes, well, obviously, you know, I guess all the people are not in the same room, so they didn't realize it. What it takes is, in command and control, it takes 8 maintenance, 10 pilots, 10 sensor operators, 5 mission coordinators, and 16 leadership and administrative personnel. It takes 14 in the processing department just to process the computer equipment to do this for each one of these. 14 maintenance.
Hold that. We'll be back here in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Joyce was just saying that when you go to the airport and they want you to go through this scanner, remember you're getting a large dose of radiation when you go through the scanner, and all you'd have to say is, I would like another alternative, and of course they can wand you, but they don't want to do that. It takes more time, and then you're beginning to raise a question, would they be putting you into something that isn't safe? And of course, it isn't safe because you do not need radiation. People get too much radiation from the mammograms. They get too much radiation from the CT scans. You get radiation from your cell phones, and they know that, and there's a danger and an increased incidence of brain tumors and other tumors when you're using even a cell phone. They know this, but it's the last thing they want the public to learn. And so Joyce just suggested that when you go to the airport, forward. If you want to do something constructive, just say, I would like another alternative because I do not want to be radiated. I've already had way too much radiation in my life. And make a large a fuss about it, and then they can simply warn you. But other people are going to be asking, gee, maybe there is something wrong with this scanner. Maybe these things are dangerous. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, they are dangerous. And then, of course, Joyce is talking about the Predator, these drones that they're using over there in Afghanistan. Oh, and, of course, they're accidentally killing a lot of women and children and others. And of course, but basically for 24 hours for one Predator drone, it takes on an average of, what is it, 124 people?
174.
174 people. But, of course, you're not. It's, supposedly this is very efficient, you know. We're going to have these unmanned aerial vehicles out there killing people, but go right ahead.
Okay, and right now the Air Force is flying about 40 of these CAPs, or these combat air patrol planes, in Iraq and Afghanistan, and it's really being pushed by the Defense Department, and they're going to add another 25 by the end of 2013, but it's taking up too many people. So what they want to do for the flying of these MQ-1 Predators and the MQ-9 Reapers is they want to have pilots fly more than one at the same time. They want to have them flying several, as much as maybe six at the same time. So what they've been doing is you notice they've been having accidents. There have been a number of Predator failures or accidents, and they've even had some aircraft accidents with the Predators, collisions. And so what they're trying to do now is expand the number of planes that they control with these people because they're using up way too many personnel to fly them. However, it's going to be a safety issue. Now, the question that I have is, what's going to happen when they've approved now for these Predator aircraft to be used at the border or to be used in the United States? We know they're being used in the United States. I'm sure that they were used over the G20 meeting. So what are we going to do when we have several people that are, or when we have this team that are flying several of these vehicles? And what kind of danger can that be when there is commercial aircraft around that has, you know, passengers on board? But I just thought that was amazing. They have not released this yet, but that's in the air, or they have released it at least in the Air Force Times. 174 people to do this.
And this is an article in the Air Force Times. This came out a few days ago, but you're sitting there, I guess, about 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
And it's just, and it includes all of the people that have to be involved in computerization, in the computers, signals intelligence, in maintenance, and the pilots. Because it does take pilots in the local area where they are also, as well as the remote pilots that are back in New Mexico or Arizona where they're flying these planes also. So I just thought that was interesting. Then at the same time, I noticed that there is a tremendous amount of airmen that are going to be let go from the military. Now, at a time when we're trying to get more people to go to Afghanistan, and we still have a war in Iraq, though a lot of people don't realize that because they're not talking about the war in Iraq, but upwards of 100,000 people in Afghanistan for 100 Al-Qaeda members. Now, see, that to me is what makes my head just want to spin. I mean, I need to duct tape my head together when I hear that kind of information because it is so incredibly nonsensical.
Well, no, wait a minute. It's about 80 to 90,000. We don't know exactly how many combat soldiers there, but there's something 80 to 90,000. Then they've got 105,000 contractors as well. So it's pushing 200,000 people to fight this wicked 100 members of Al-Qaeda. And if you doubt that, we've got the interview, 60-minute interview, where Steve Croft asked President Obama why we had to have all these people over there and increase the number of people in Afghanistan when there was only 100 members of Al-Qaeda. And the president said, I must protect the American people. They're plotting against America, and there's some people over in Pakistan. That's why we need 200, need all these new people. We were talking about an additional 30,000 people, in addition to the 60,000 combat or military personnel we have, but in addition to 105,000 contractors. Now, certainly these people must be very dangerous if you need almost 200,000 people to combat 100. Mm-hmm. Think what would it be if there were 200 members of Al-Qaeda. Mm-hmm. We'll be back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty. Well, go right ahead, Joyce. You're the first person I've heard mention the fact there was only a member of 100 people of Al-Qaeda. You know, I'm sure you're on top of all these things, but we don't hear this from, you know, Glenn Beck or Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or all the other apologists, you know, for the government and what a great job they're doing protecting us from the wicked people of Al-Qaeda plotting against America over there in Afghanistan.
It is absolutely frightening when we hear these kinds of things on television because they do it by design. Every single thing you hear on the main spin networks is by design. So they are going to tell you these things, and the average person is not even going to question. Okay, we got 100 members of Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda, in Afghanistan, and that means we've got 1,000 of our men, well, if you include the military contractors, that's 2,000 of our men for every one Al-Qaeda member. Now, that's powerful if you ask me. Now, to me, if we cannot win a war, given that information, I think we ought to pack up our tents and our Humvees and probably ought to come home and just admit, well, this one didn't go well, we're done. I mean, that's incredible. And to think that we are wasting the lives of our men and women. Every day when I get the latest deaths, the pictures of these people that have died, it just breaks my heart. And I see these 22, 24-year-old kids, these children that will never see their children born. And for what? For what? And then to have Afghanistan announce, well, we just found $1 trillion worth of resources. How lucky are we? They knew that going into the war. That's why we are in the war, is to get those $1 trillion worth of resources. And yet you've got people acting as though, whoa, well, I'll be darned. What a good deal for us. Maybe we ought to stay here for a little bit longer. Then this whole thing with McChrystal and the bizarre amount of time the media has spent on this, when we have our ocean dying, which is then going to cause us to have a certain amount of morbidity and mortality as a result of that. We've got Petraeus and McChrystal over and over again in the news. Now, you and I both know, sir, how many times generals are removed from a position, and it's kind of like, ho-hum, they have a new general in the command. But this one, this is as if... You know Petraeus is going to be running for president.
Hold this thought. We'll be right back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Sydney Joyce is just talking about all the emphasis on, you know, replacing General McChrystal with General Petraeus. I would point out General Petraeus is being built up by the media. I think maybe they're thinking about running him for political office very soon. He's being created by the media. General Petraeus is a media general, and but how they've been focusing our attention on Sydney, on the relief of General McChrystal, bringing in General Petraeus, and of course we ignore really important issues. Before we go on, Joyce, I want you to go ahead and get your website out, tell people how they can get in touch with your ministry, and of course how they can listen to your radio programs.
Absolutely. Go to thepowerhour.com or gcnlive.com, or the best thing, I think, is get a Rick satellite, because if you don't have a Rick satellite, you cannot appreciate what crystal clear radio is like. Now, we honor and thank so much the radio stations that carry our programs, and we are so grateful to have those radio stations around the country, and WWCR, and whatever else is out there, but... You know, when it all comes down, Rick's satellite is the most incredible way to listen to the program all the time. Now, we have it going all the time here so that people, when they call in and we have to put them on hold, they get to hear the programming. And they get to hear you, of course, on the right after the power hour in the morning. And we have programming all day long because of Rick's satellite. And I always like to give out the phone number. I don't get anything from this. Dr. Stan doesn't either. But we get the satisfaction of knowing we've got more listeners that are going to be able to listen if the computers go down. And Rick's phone number is 816-228-1801. 816-228-1801. And to have programming 100 stations and not have to pay anything every month is awesome. So that's a great thing for $180 that it costs. So you can listen to the Power Hour Power Hour, thepowerhour.com, or gcnlive.com. You know, there's a phone app now that everybody can use, and I think that's so cool that there is an iPhone app. A lot of our people are listening on that. A lot of people call in on the toll-free number. Just go to gcnlive.com, and you can find Dr. Stan and myself there and learn how to listen to the program.
And, of course, you can actually go to our website, radioliberty.com, and listen to Joyce 9 hours a day. And I'm sure you can go to her website and listen to me 9 hours a day.
That's right.
But the important thing is we're getting the information out. Joyce has a network of radio stations, and we have a network of radio stations, just picked up a new one today. And really, it's so important that all across the country, people are hearing the truth for the first time. And, of course, they're going to try to shut down the Internet. They can't let the American people learn the truth, learn about the Brotherhood of Darkness, learn that they send our men into wars that they never intend to win, simply to have them slaughtered. But it's a wonderful diversion, exactly what Vietnam was all about, a war we were never even tried to win. But we had to have a lot of blood and horror to distract the American people from the fact that they were moving to take away our freedom here at home. Well, Joyce, go ahead. What other issues would you like to talk about? I know you had four of them.
Well, the story just released today that just absolutely astounded me. This is huge, and that is the VA hospital may have infected 1,800 veterans with HIV. That's a CNN story just released, and I am just sick.
Well, now, how did they go about doing that?
Well, this is a Missouri VA hospital in St. Louis, the John Cochran VA Center, which did not clean their dental equipment correctly, and now these people have to be notified that they need to come in for testing for HIV, for hepatitis, because they may have given them hepatitis C or HIV or hepatitis B. 1,812 veterans. Now, this is so stupid, it's beyond belief. Again, like, you know, what happened in the California hospital where they over-radiated the people. And that was, oh, gee, we are so sorry. You know, we'll take steps to make sure this never happens again. Well, no veteran should be exposed to this kind of thing. And why is it at VA hospitals? Why is it that we have the situation happen, then they have to go back in and be tested? I am hoping against hope. I mean, I am really hoping this is not some kind of experiment that went on, because we know, and I'm sorry to say it, the VA has a way of tracking experiments. And remember, in Senate Report 103-97, you know, don't tell me this doesn't happen when it says that during the past 50 years, hundreds of thousands of our military have been experimented upon without their knowledge or consent.
Is that the Rockefeller Committee report that you're speaking of?
Yes.
I don't know. You can get that, of course, from Joyce. You can get that from us. You really should read it. It came out in 1994. I contacted a woman who did this for the it was a report. Came out of the Veterans Administration over the name of a Senator Rockefeller, and she was afraid to come on my program, quite frankly, afraid to come on.
Wow.
She did a great report. And in fact, the U.S. printing office only printed up 35 copies for the entire nation. They printed up copies that were given, of course, to members of the committee, and copies that they could send out to their people who support them. But as far as the general public, only 35 copies. We bought most of them. We do have it now. We manufactured it ourselves. It's very easy. When I asked them, why did you only make 35 copies? He said, oh, well, it's so expensive. We print them up for 30 cents each, something like that, maybe 50 cents. Go right ahead.
It's just incredible that they experimented upon the military people in the past 50 years, hundreds of thousands. Now, they didn't admit that to the veterans, of course. They admitted that in a report that wasn't supposed to go anywhere but to the committee members. But we found out about it thanks to you. You got it out, and we were able to make these available. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what scares me about this story, because they're saying, oh, gee, so sorry that this happened. You come in and have your lab work done, and we'll tell you if you got AIDS, Hep A, or Hep B. Too bad, so sad, basically. Now, let's see what happens if people have contracted Hep A, Hep B, or HIV. What do you think is going to happen to them? Well, probably not a whole lot. Either that, or they're going to have to fight like crazy to prove that they got it from the dental equipment, which is going to be their next step, is to deny liability. Well, have you had sex since you were got your dental work done? Well, bingo, there is your answer.
And, of course, you have to understand they poisoned tens of thousands of the American soldiers with Agent Orange. They knew what they were doing. They lied about it for 30 or 40 years. And, actually, I hate to say it, was Bill Clinton who actually insisted that the Veterans Administration start paying disability to those people who survived. But, I mean, there were, I don't know how many people were, but tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, had their lives ruined by the Agent Orange. The same thing happened certainly during the First Gulf War, with the Gulf War illness and the depleted uranium. The same thing's happening with the people over in Iraq today. We're contaminating that country with depleted uranium. They're getting all sorts of children with deformities. Go on the internet and simply type in Iraq, the depleted uranium, deformed children. And all these children are being born with these horrible deformities. And you're never going to hear this mentioned by Glenn Beck or by Rush Limbaugh. Or Sean Hannity. Go ahead.
And that's why people think that you and I are crazy, because the things that you and I speak about are not the things that Glenn Beck or Rush Limbaugh is going to talk about. So therefore, if it was really news, they would be covering it. So then they look at us, as, and even family, friends, will do the same thing. You know, somebody mentioned to me when we were talking about, you know, staying whole and staying together and staying strong, is they said sometimes your family can be the very worst. Because if you don't have a supportive spouse or friends, and they say to you, you are crazy, when you've heard that enough, well, then you just back off. You don't go to the family reunions. You don't go to the picnics. You don't get involved with the family. Because they talk about, oh, yeah, you know what he believes over there or she believes. And that's why it's so sad. But that's how the media is used against us. And the mainspin media then uses someone like a Glenn Beck to be the voice and the face of truth to the public. And if he doesn't say it, then it can't be. I got an email from a gentleman yesterday. We were discussing, we had a gentleman on the program who wrote the death and life of journalism. And I thought he'd be really good to talk about the death of journalism. But he kind of had the company line, and he said, well, if people really would just take part in federally funded journalism, then everything would be fine. Oh, well, I mean, what am I going to say then? I mean, I got to respond to that. And then came up the issue, and I brought up some things like 9/11, some other issues, and depleted uranium. I brought that up. Then I brought up the birth certificate for Obama. Now, I'm not saying that that is the issue we need to be concerned about. It's one. I'd like to know the answer. But he then said, oh, you must be one of those conspiratorial crazy people with the crazy conspiratorial theories. And I said, you can't say that and mitigate my argument just by calling me a crazy conspiratorial theorist. That doesn't mitigate my argument. And yet they use those things to try and destroy what we think. Well, this man emailed me, and he says, what is this thing about a birth certificate? And I heard about a question about how 9/11 happened. And DU, what is all this stuff you guys are talking about? I listen to television. I haven't heard any of this stuff.
Well, if I could make a suggestion to people, if you've never seen the DVD Beyond Treason that Joyce put together on depleted uranium, it's one of the most powerful things you'll ever see. How could they get that from you, Joyce?
Well, they can call us at the Power Hour at 877-GULF-VET, 877-GULF-VET. Or if you're a vet and if you are or thinking about joining the military, I will send you a copy at no charge. And you just call us and at the Power Hour, 877-GULF-VET. You can purchase it from Dr. Stan, or you can get it if you're a former military in the Gulf War or thinking about joining the military from me. And
she'll send it to you without charge, which I can't afford to do. But it's a wonderful, wonderful DVD. Every American who values freedom should see that. It's really one of the most powerful DVDs I've ever seen.
Well, that's very kind of you. And the reason that I can give them away is because we don't include, I mean, they're different than yours. We have a veterans DVD that's 45 minutes longer than the one that you have, Dr. Stan. And this is for veterans specifically. It goes into the vaccines more relative to a person who's been in the military. So this is a separate veterans DVD that is Beyond Treason. So if you want to purchase it with the CD-ROM, because that CD-ROM has got over 3,000 pages of documents that the DOD would just as soon we not have. And I thought it was interesting when they contacted me after Beyond Treason came out.
No, it was the military that contacted them. They didn't want the soldiers, the military, to know this, right?
Right, that's correct. And they contacted me, and they told me that one of the documents on there had been reclassified. Therefore, I could not provide that documentary to anyone. So I said to them, well, thank you very much. If you will provide me that reclassification document, I will be more than happy to address that after you provide me the reclassification document. Well, it hadn't been, and I knew it hadn't been. I knew that was just a ruse that they were trying to use to keep me from getting it out. So I continue to this day to get it out. The first call is the one that I had gotten from Captain Chalker Brown, who was a Navy captain, who told me he did not want me to allow out another one that we did in 96 called Gulf War Illness Factor Fiction. And that's when he told me that we do not want... Oh, he called me and he said, this is Captain Chalker Brown from the Pentagon. And Captain Riley, would like to inform you that you are no longer to give away Gulf War Illness Factor Fiction to any of the military people. And I said, and your reason is? I said, what part of it is inaccurate? And they said, that's not it. You are one of us. And I said, well, then don't consider me one of you. I said, if you think I'm going to participate, and I said this to him, I said, Captain, if you think I am going to participate in the wholesale manslaughter of our military by denying the facts that I know to be true about the vaccines, about the experiments done on them, I said, then don't count me as one of you. It wasn't long after that that I got a letter saying, Dear Captain Riley, you are no longer needed by the military. Thank you very much. You're basically out. And you know as well as I do that physicians and nurses, they go on infinitum. I mean, they don't resign their commissions. Their commissions are good for life because they may need to bring them back in. Not me. They didn't need me, for sure. But I challenged them on that, and I told them I was going to continue to do it, and I have. And I've given away thousands and thousands of those. But the one called Gulf War Illness Factor Fiction, there's something on it that they really do not like, and I'm not quite sure what it is because there's so much stuff on it that is not favorable to them. But there's something on Gulf War Illness Factor Fiction that we still carry it at the Power Hour and give it away to people. Especially students who want to study the issue, because I've got a lot of documentation on it. But the very fact that our military has been used for hundreds of years, decades, but then going back, and I believe also way far back, our military has been used for reasons other than for keeping this country free.
Well, that's why we have troop stationed in 135 nations. What? We have troop stationed in 135 nations? I mean, all those nations threatening us, are they being threatened? Ladies and gentlemen, we have an empire. It's all about world government, and they're using our boys as cannon fodder, and they know what they're doing, and they just don't want the American people to know, and they abandoned them. They abandoned hundreds there, certainly in Vietnam after the Vietnam War. Totally covered up by the media. They abandoned 8,000 in Korea. They abandoned 20 to 25,000 after the Second World War. They died in prison camps in Russia, and our leaders knew that, and we've got the reports, the government reports, totally suppressed by the controlled media. And we'll talk about that at the end of the program. If you want to get these government reports, we have them, and Joyce has them as well. And they consider them cannon fodder. They refer to them. Bertrand Russell talks about how only 30% of women should have children. We need those children for cannon fodder.
Oh.
And, of course, Sidney Henry Kissinger talking about our military stupid, dumb animals to be used for public policy or foreign policy issues. This is what they're doing, and they're going to send them to fight and die now in Iran. And this is not imaginary. It's coming. Just imagine what sort of an incident they're going to create to justify, to get the American people to get their flags out, to wave them so now we can go over there and kill a lot of people in Iran as well as we have in Iran. Iraq. We probably killed a million people in Iraq. Heaven only knows how many people in Afghanistan. But ladies and gentlemen, men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. Go right ahead, Joyce.
Well, I just think it's important to understand. I talked to a man the other day that said he had just returned from Fallujah, Iraq. He said he could not believe the number of deformed babies over there. And they're telling him it's because of, you know, what happened in the 1980s with Saddam Hussein. But it's not so. They are deformed from depleted uranium.
And, of course, basically the depleted uranium simply affects the genetic makeup of people. And we've contaminated that whole area. Go up on the Internet and look it up. Certainly the organizations, Royal Institute of Medicine in England has said this should not be used. Countries throughout the world have outlawed this, but we're using it. And one day, I fear, it'll be used on the American people. You need to get that DVD, Beyond Treason. Our guest today, Joyce Riley, The Power Hour. You want to listen to our programs every day. Well, Joyce, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, I want everybody to know that with regard to the Gulf, because we really haven't talked much about that, there's a story that just came out that I'm going to be covering in the news tomorrow, warning to Gulf volunteers that almost every cleanup worker from the 1989 Exxon Valdez disaster is now dead. I couldn't believe that. CNN's going to be focusing on this, that's going to be a report. It was a report on CNN. Nearly every Exxon Valdez cleanup person is dead. And to think about the very fact that benzene, hydrogen sulfide, all of these items, you know, we found out and found a report that charcoal, activated charcoal, will neutralize this. Why aren't they telling the people in the Gulf? Why aren't they sharing that with people that they need to be taking activated charcoal caps every day or tablets every day or the powder, which we do at the Power Hour. I have at the Power Hour because I believe in it so very much. You know, activated charcoal will neutralize 3,000 items in the body. It's what God gave us to neutralize poisons in our body. I've used it and used it and used it, and yet it's so cheap that they don't, of course, pharmaceutical companies don't want people to get access to it. A year's supply is only like $20 for a year of it, and so it's so inexpensive. So we had the mayor of Orange Beach on, Orange Beach, Louisiana, the other day, and we told him we're sending him a case down for his people in his office because he said they're starting to get sick now. And the EPA, I thought this was fascinating, the EPA will not tell him the air quality index, the AQI, will not share it with him. He said, I'm the mayor. And this is the sad part, and you can go to the Power Hour and hear that interview, but he said, I'll tell you, I am afraid of the federal government. He said, I will not back down. He said, but when I stand up, I told my people, you better be behind me. He said, because it's going to get ugly. They know it's going to get bad. He said, it took me 2 weeks of just shaking my head to figure out what is going on. And he said, I finally realized they do not mean us well.
Oh, now, what city is he a mayor of?
He is the mayor of Orange Beach, Louisiana.
Pretty close to the coast then?
Oh, right there, yes.
All right, well, we'll call you off air to get the telephone number. Anyway, God bless you. Joyce, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, sir. We'll look forward
to having you with us again next month right here at Radio Liberty.
Thank you so much, sir. Have a blessed day.
And you too. Bye-bye. God bless. All right, fine. Well, of course, that's Joyce Riley, and I hope you enjoy our programs with Joyce every month. There, a wonderful, wonderful Christian lady has dedicated her life to trying to help us get the word out. And all across the country, people doing exactly the same thing, and they need our help and our support. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I do hope you certainly enjoy our program. Joyce was saying off air that she interviewed the mayor of a town called Orange in Louisiana. It's right on the coast. The mayor was saying that people in their city are getting ill, that the Environmental Protection Agency will not let them know what the air pollution is. Of course, the benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene, chloride. The EPA won't let them know what they readings are, but the people in their office, people in their city are getting ill, and the government will not tell them what's going on. And as the mayor said, I think that the government does not mean as well. Well, could these things really be going on in America? You can bet your life they can. You need to get Joyce's DVD, Beyond Treason. It's available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to get the Senate report, Veterans Commission report, the Rockefeller report about how they've experimented on their military for 50 years, we have the report. And as I said, the woman who did this was afraid to come on my program, but we have the report. It's called, we call it the Rockefeller Committee Report. And then, of course, for the men we abandoned in the First World War, the Second World War, the Korean War, the Vietnam War. Why? Because this is the Senate Foreign Relations Committee Report, which is available from Radio Liberty. We offer them because you're not going to get them through regular channels, and you're certainly never going to hear about them in the spin media, in the controlled media. Again, that's the Senate Foreign Relations Committee report about the 20 to 25,000 soldiers who died in Siberia because they were abandoned by their country. Of the men we left in Vietnam, abandoned by their country, and of course John McCain and John Kerry were the two of the people who really covered this up. Not a word in the controlled media about it, but go up on the internet, check these facts out. Simply talk in, type in John McCain, and then cover up POWs, Vietnam POW. John McCain's a very evil man, but not a word of this was mentioned when he was running for the presidency. So the information is available, and of course that's the Senate Foreign Relations Committee on the POW MIAs. And then, of course, we hope you want to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, because how do you basically, how do you understand what's going on? And, of course, it was the mayor of Orange Beach, Alabama, my producer is correcting me here, so we're going to see if we can get him onto our program. We try to get all sorts of fascinating programs. We're going to have a program a week from Friday, 8 to 10. With an investigative reporter from the Washington Times and Human Events, got an amazing story, what's really going on down there in the Gulf. And I will tell you, after talking to him for about 15 to 20 minutes, I was feeling a little disconcerted. That'll be a week from Friday, our evening program, 8 to 10. You'll certainly want to listen to that as we get John Kristen Reiter on as our special guest. And what you'll find out is what you'll never get from other people about what's really going on in the Gulf of Mexico. Well, then, of course, we do hope you want to get our material on the invisible government that runs America. You want to get my talk on the financial Armageddon. It comes with a syllabus. Our talk on the financial syllabus, financial tsunami. And this is a talk we gave 5 years ago, but it explains how the financial system works and how banks create money out of nothing and how the government creates money out of nothing and how the fractional reserve system really is working. But my financial Armageddon tells you how they intentionally and purposely created this whole problem. We have a little pamphlet. It's five of our newsletters. It's called The Financial Meltdown. Financial Meltdown. It's only $3.95 plus shipping. Get it with the other things. And it will explain how they did it. They know what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know that they intend to destroy our economy. And that's what, of course, Kyoto is all about. We have to decrease our emissions 83% by 2050. That means we do away with our cars. We do away with our electricity. They want to destroy America.